Thank you. Appreciate the prayer and good to see everybody this morning and thankful that the Lord has blessed us with another opportunity as we go into a new year to gather together and to assemble with one another and do sincerely ask that you would pray for me this morning that the words that are spoken would be honoring unto the Lord. If you have your Bible and want to turn with me this morning, we'll be in Hebrews chapter 12 and want to speak for a few minutes this morning on a tale of two mountains. And as we go into the new year, this is a wonderful word of encouragement for us as God's people and the great blessings and the privilege and the access that we have to God our Father. As we go to the 18th verse of Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to have the Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of God, writing to the Lord's people by way of encouragement to them, by way of reminding them that they're no longer under the law, but they're under grace. And this was one of the motivators that he gives God's people to continue to run with patience the race that's set before us, that he starts out this chapter encouraging God's people with. So verse 18, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 through 24. Paul writes, "For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that they should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake." But verse 22, it says, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of men, of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." What we have here in God's word is a tale of two mountains. We have one that is Mount Sinai. When you go back to the Old Testament in the book of Exodus, you'll read about Mount Sinai where God met with his people. As they were blessed to come out of Egypt, he commanded Moses to lead the people to this mount, and this was the place after the Exodus that they were going to meet with God. And then we have the other mount, Mount Zion, which is the mount of encouragement, the mount of hope that we have as God's people today. And it's interesting to me as we think about this writing, remember, Paul is writing to God's people to encourage them to run with patience the race that's set before them. And what he's saying here to God's people is that we are to be encouraged, we are to be motivated in the truth, that we don't come to Mount Zion this morning, or Mount Sinai this morning, but we do come to Mount Zion. And this is a wonderful blessing to think about when you consider what happened at Mount Sinai versus what we enjoy in Mount Zion today. He's given us some of that illustration. One thing that struck me before we go into that, though, is that when God called his people out of Egypt, he didn't call them out just to do whatever they wanted to do. He called them out to go and worship. He called them to go out. And remember, as the Lord sent Moses to speak to Pharaoh, the words were, "Let my people go that they may go and hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." In the Old Testament times, God called his people out of bondage to go worship. But we see here that the worship in the Old Testament time was far different than what we have in the New Testament times that we live in today. But I want us to see that point. As God's people, we've been called for a purpose. We've not been called to just do whatever we feel like doing here in this world. But we've been called to worship and honor the God of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God of heaven. And I'm thankful that we've been called to Mount Zion as God's people today rather than Mount Sinai. He's going to make this contrast now in verse 18. He says this, "For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire." Notice the description of the first mountain. Here it is, this mountain that's covered with fire. He says, nor into blackness and darkness and tempest. And the sound of the trumpet, and it said, the voice of words, it says, the which voice that they heard entreated that they should not be spoken to them anymore. Mount Sinai was not a pleasant place to be for God's people in the Old Testament times. Because we see this description. This was a mount that had fire. This was a mount that was covered with what the Bible says here, blackness and darkness and tempest. And you can go and read about this in Exodus chapter 19. This mountain was the place where God met with his people. And it was a place that the people feared greatly because the presence of God was there. And notice he gives these descriptions over and over and over again. He paints this picture of Mount Sinai as a place that we should not desire to go back to. And that was the message here in the book of Hebrews. They were wanting to go back to the law. They were wanting to go back to those Jewish traditions. And he paints this picture of Mount Sinai to the point here where even Moses, that great man of faith, he feared. Moses actually said that I exceedingly fear and quake at this mountain. And what we have here as we see the first mountain and the second mountain, Mount Zion, we have this picture of God's people under the law compared to what we have as God's people today under grace. This mountain, it was covered with blazing fire. Now, this wasn't the nice, comfortable fire that we would have if it wasn't 85 degrees in our fireplaces today. This was a foreboding fire. This reminds me of when the angel was there guarding the Garden of Eden in there, and he had a flaming sword. This was a flame that said, you cannot approach. This was a flame that showed destruction. This was a flame that showed this barrier. And we get this picture here. We get this picture of what was going on in Mount Sinai to the point where Moses trembled and feared at the sight of this mountain. You know, it was this place that was a picture of God and His power, God and His glory, God and His majesty, but it's a picture of God and where His people were as far as the law before Him. They could not approach that mountain. They could not. In the Old Testament time, Moses went up to the mount. God gave the commandments and the law to Moses. The people could not approach. And they were commanded if anybody went up that mountain, they were to be killed. If an animal was to go up that mountain, they were to be thrust through. So we have this picture here. Scary picture. A picture of judgment. A picture of a barrier, of a barricade. This picture here that was what the children of Israel faced when they came out of the land of Egypt. Now notice here. Here is the good news for us as God's people today. In verse 22 he says this, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. My friends, this morning as God's people, I am thankful to tell you, we don't go to Mount Sinai with its thunderings and its lightnings and its fire and the trumpets and the trembling. We come to Mount Zion this morning, the city of the living God, and we come and we have peace with God because we're going to see here that Jesus Christ was our mediator. And that's good news for us as we go into the new year. And I want to remind you of that as a child of God, because this past year has been another challenging year. We faced discouragements. We faced trials. We faced difficulties. And as we've heard the prayer request this morning, we still have those challenges before us. And oftentimes in the midst of challenges, we want to revert back to the former things in our lives. And these Jewish converts that Paul was writing to, they in the midst of their difficulties, in the midst of the race that they were running, in their minds, they thought, it is better for us to go to Mount Sinai than to move forward and go to Mount Zion. But he reminds them of the great blessings and the great beauty that comes for God's people today in Mount Zion. And I want to tell you, child of God, that's a wonderful blessing that we enjoy today. You know, in the book of Galatians, Paul, again, those Jews, they were going back to those traditions of their forefathers that Jesus Christ had done away with. And Paul tells the Galatian brethren that those things of old, they've passed away. And he likens them to going back to those former things, to going back to bondage, if you will, going back to Hagar, if you will. But he says, as God's people, we go to Mount Zion. Notice what he says in Galatians chapter 4. He says this in verse 25. He says, "For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children." This is speaking of Hagar. Remember Hagar during the time of Abraham? He was Abraham's bondservant, bondwoman, and they had this child together that was not of God's will. But he says here for us as God's people today, he says, "But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all." We have been brought to the city of God as his people today. No longer do we fear the thunderings and the rumblings and the fire and the trumpets of Mount Sinai, because we have access. We have been brought into the city of God as his people. Yeah. Isn't that a wonderful blessing to think about? When you think about Sinai, you think about separation between God and his people. They had this very evident separation between them. And Moses was their mediator at that time. And their mediator feared and trembled to go into the presence of God. But now, as God's people today, we come to the presence of God himself. We have access to God, the sovereign King of kings and ruler over all, because of Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? He says here, "Ye are come to Mount Zion." That's a wonderful blessing to think about. That's the hope that we have. That's the hope that we should move forward with. You know, that's the hope that Abraham had. And as he sojourned in this world, his hope was in one who was King of kings and Lord of lords, who far transcended the difficulties of this world. Remember, Abraham was the one who looked for that city, it says, whose foundations and whose builder and maker is God. That's the Mount Zion that we have this morning as God's people. Isn't that a wonderful blessing to think about? Mount Sinai was taken care of by Jesus Christ when he came into this world, and now we have access to the city of God, Mount Zion, as God's children today. What a wonderful blessing that is to think about. He's saying here, don't turn back to Mount Sinai. We have Mount Zion as God's people. You think about that with Abraham. Abraham lived in tents. Abraham was a pilgrim in the land of promise. And he went through those difficulties and trials and tribulations. But he understood that he had citizenship in a city beyond this world. His citizenship was in that place that the psalmist wrote of in Psalm 46. The city, it says, that there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. Abraham looked forward to Mount Zion. Abraham looked forward to what we enjoy today as God's people. Isn't that a wonderful blessing to think about? We have Sinai in all its fury, but as God's people, we enjoy Zion with all of its grace and access to God. You know, in the book of Revelation, that was the encouragement that John gave God's people as he closed out this book that was an encouragement to God's people who were going through just difficulties that I cannot even imagine. He reminded them that they have a home in Mount Zion. Revelation chapter 22, he says, verse 14, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city." Who are those? Those are God's children. Those are God's elect. Who are the ones that enter through the gates? Those that he died for on the cross. What's he talking about? Mount Zion. Going to that glorious place. In verse 17 it says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. My friends, we have a home in Mount Zion as God's people. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? Now, if we had, you know, think about your idyllic home place. Think about that. Maybe it's a house on the beach. Maybe it's a cabin in the mountains. Maybe it's a lodge on a lake somewhere. Now, if you had that, would you desire to go back into a 500 square foot apartment in the slums somewhere? No, as God's people, He's saying we have a home in Mount Zion. We have access to God. And those whosoevers that John mentions in Revelation chapter 20, those whosoevers are the ones that God has called, the ones that were saved through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, those that have the Spirit of God within them, those are the ones that are going to enjoy Mount Zion. And my friends, we enjoy access today, don't we? Yeah. He reminds them of that, the city of God. The Old Testament, those Old Testament prophets looked to Mount Zion. Ezekiel said that the name of that city was "The Lord is there." Zechariah talked about it being inscribed all throughout the Mount Zion, "Holy to the Lord." Paul says here, this is what you enjoy as a child of God. In the New Testament, we look to Mount Zion. Our hope is in the city of God. And then he says this in verse 23. He says, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to, he says, to the spirits of just men made perfect. Who has access to Mount Zion? Well, these that are mentioned here. This assembly, this church of the firstborn, those whose names are written into heaven. In other words, God's people, God's elect. God's children, and we understand the wonderful doctrine that we were chosen in Christ Jesus from before the foundation of the world, and these are the ones whose citizenship, whose access is to Mount Zion. Now, it's interesting, there's several different categories that's mentioned here that describe God's people. But I want us to look here with the time that we have. I just want us to look for a few minutes here at the title of firstborn. Because this is a designation that I don't think in our culture we understand as much anymore. But in the times of the writing of the Bible, in the times of the Old Testament, on throughout history, and even in the not so distant past, the firstborn had significance. My father-in-law, he and my mother-in-law were with us in worship last Sunday, and my father-in-law's father and some of his brothers, they immigrated. They lived in on the border of South Switzerland and northern Italy. They lived in Switzerland, and they lived in the old country out there. And he and his younger brothers, they left. They had to leave because they had to go and carve out their own way because they weren't the firstborn. The firstborn inherited what his father and what his father's family had there in southern Switzerland, and the rest of them came west. They came this way. Some ended up in Texas, some in Colorado, and some in Mexico. They weren't the firstborn, and they were on their own. Firstborn in ancient times and in the not so distant past, privilege comes with being the firstborn. What did the firstborn get? We can see it in the Bible. The firstborn sons usually got double portions of the inheritance, didn't they? The firstborn had favor. They were the ones that were especially beloved of the father in many cases. Not in all cases in the Bible, but in many cases, the firstborn had special favor from the father. Well, I want you to understand here that the Apostle Paul is writing to a firstborn that we are all a part of. You say, well, I'm the youngest of my family, or I'm the middle child. I've got, my wife says she's got the middle child syndrome. The middle child, the one that's oftentimes overlooked. As a child of God, we're all firstborn. And that's a wonderful blessing to think about, because with being the firstborn, there comes great blessings and privilege. And as God's children, have we not received a double portion of an inheritance as God's people? Isn't that a wonderful blessing to think about? When Jesus died, he didn't just wipe the slate clean for us, did he? No, he paid for all of our sins. Some people think, when you, quote unquote, accept the Lord in your life, it wipes the slate clean and then it's up to you to get the job done. No, I'd be in trouble if that was the case. No, he just didn't wipe the slate clean. He just didn't sweep out the rubbish that was there at that point in time. No, double blessings. He died for all of my sins. And my friends, not only did he deliver us from an eternal hell, we have a heavenly home waiting for us. That is the Mount Zion that's spoken of here. And we enjoy the blessings right now. Blessing upon blessing upon blessing. I tell you what, firstborn may have privileges in this world, but as a child of God, being firstborn among his brethren, it's a great blessing for us, isn't it? And again, favor from the Father. That's a wonderful blessing. You go back to the book of Exodus and God speaking through Moses to Pharaoh. Remember, he called Israel his firstborn son. Well, spiritually speaking, as God's people, we enjoy the blessings and the favor and the love of God, and we didn't deserve any of it in and of ourselves. We are the firstborn. If my wife's listening, let go of the middle child syndrome excuse. You know, if you're saying, well, I'm the baby of the family, and you're allowing that to impact how you act and how you behave. No, you're the firstborn as a child of God. Firstborn, what a blessing that is to think about. You know, and thinking about during the time of Moses as well, the firstborn, and when that final plague came down upon Egypt, remember, who was it that was delivered by the blood? The firstborn sons. The firstborn. I'm thankful, just as Israel's firstborn sons by the blood were redeemed from death, as God's people, we as the firstborn were redeemed through the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful blessing to think about. Jesus Christ, Paul would say in the Colossian letter this, it says, he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. And then he says in Romans chapter 8 that we are the firstborn among many brethren. What a wonderful blessing that is to think about. We as God's people, we have been saved. We have been delivered. We are his firstborn. And we have access into the city of God. We have access to Mount Zion. Now, why would you want to go back to Mount Sinai after you see the access, the wonderful home that we have in Mount Zion? Why would you want to go back to that little cramped apartment that's in that bad part of town, in the slums where there's danger and where there's peril, than when we've got a mansion in the city of God, Mount Zion? In this city, my friends, we see that Jesus Christ, he is the cornerstone. He is the firstborn. And what a wonderful blessing. By the grace of God, we have access to Mount Zion, a tale of two cities. Lord, help us as we go into the new year, whatever our Sinai may be. For the Jews, it was that literal mountain where God gave the commandments. God gave the law. They thought, well, if we can just keep God's law, then we can have order and have peace and have blessings in my life. No, Mount Sinai brought fear. It brought the threat of death. It brought trembling. But Mount Sinai, we have peace.